Amen. Thank you, Pastor. All right, look in your Bibles, the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter number 15, and what a joy to be in the Lord's house. Amen. I appreciate the singing, appreciate you being in your place. I sure do like to preach to people better than I do pews. Amen. So it is good to see you in your place, and I thank the Lord for that. And you pray tonight that the Lord enable us in preaching that which is laid upon our heart tonight. Luke chapter 15, you will and able stand tonight. Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to assemble together just like we are tonight. I pray now for just a little while you'd hold back the forces of the enemy. I pray may the Spirit of God and the Word of God have liberty and freedom to work in our hearts and in our lives. I pray you'd save that soul that's lost here tonight. Help us as your people, Lord. May we indeed allow you to work in our hearts in these days. And may you be glorified in all that we say and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 7 tonight, where the Bible said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'll preach this evening just a few moments, God helping me, on this subject of just one. Just one. He said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. I began to think, matter of fact, last night sitting on that pew, the Spirit of God began stirring the thought and the verse in my heart over the fact of just one. You know, sometimes we're not careful. We get thinking it's got to be some big thing, something what we call major. But I want to tell you, God is interested in the one. I thought about this afresh today. God looks at souls and us, and he says to us that there's the importance of just one. And I'll tell you something else. He's interested in the one. Amen. And he invites the one. Amen. And he'll intervene for the one. Boy, I'm glad that he is interested in me. 40 years ago, I was on the Broadway of destruction. I'm glad that God came where I was and saved me by his grace. I began thinking about this and meditating today on just one. Let me say, first of all, tonight, I want to talk about just one soul. You understand that he is interested in the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And there's times, yes, in services where multitudes get saved. But you understand they still get saved one at a time. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that he's interested in the world. You understand there could be one here tonight. Amen. Good news is he came for the one. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that he is interested in the souls of men. Where would you be had he not come where you were? Amen. I got thinking in the scriptures. You haven't paid attention after the times he went after one. Amen. I got thinking in his text that there's 100 sheep in the beginning, one wandered off and he left the 99 out to get the one. Oh yeah, I got thinking today there's one man that was demon possessed. Amen. And he crossed the Galilee for him. Listen, I got dwelling on this. He put the disciples through a storm to get to one. Amen. I mean, them disciples were content on the shore of Galilee. And he said, let's get in the boat. He said, we're going to the other side. Hey, he didn't tell them why he was going the other side. He didn't tell them they was going to encounter a storm while they was going the other side. But there's one old boy on the other side that was full of the devil, and his life was wrecked, and his life was in a mess. And the Lord said, we're going over to the other side. He is interested in one demon-possessed man on the other side of Galilee. I got thinking about that. You know, there's times in our lives as Christian, he might put us through some storms. Brother Jeremy, to reach one. Amen. Boy, the good Holy Ghost reminded me in my office today while I was studying. Back this week last year, I was in the hospital. Amen. Wasn't sure if I'd live or die. There's some days I didn't even know I was in the world. But after I come out of ICU and been on dialysis a few days, and I couldn't even moderate my own jubilee last year. And I just happened to watch it on laptop and watching it from a dialysis center at the hospital. Boy, God was a meeting with me and a helping me. Matter of fact, one day I came to myself a kicking the footboard, getting blessed. Well, there's a nurse that I had. She was a kind lady, and that was encouraging to me. And she came in the week at Jubilee working. And at that night, she come on, and we had a laptop up there, and the men of God was a preaching. And I mean a preaching. And she said, what y'all watching in here? Had it cranked up kind of loud. And I said, my meeting at the church is going on, and we're just watching it. And boy, there wasn't a day or two went by. And she come in there, Brother Jeremy, and she said, I used to go to church. I said, you did? She said, yeah, I used to go to church. I said, tell me what happened to you. And she said, about 7 years ago, I got hurt down there at the church. I said, boy, that can happen. I know it can. And she left the room, and another day or two come by, and boy, we've been watching this preaching. And they've been preachers coming in my room, and me and my wife's been praying together. And man, I'll tell you something, I was in a storm. I wasn't sure if I'd ever get to preach again or not. And it wasn't many days that nurse come in there. Preacher, she said, I've been reading my Bible again. I said, amen. I said, keep on reading. Hey, what many more days after that, she said, preacher, and that's what they called me. She said, preacher, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get my children, get back in the house of God. I looked at her, Brother Mark. I looked her in the face. I said, I don't understand every reason why I'm in here. I don't understand everything that went on, but I got a sneaking suspicion you're one of the reasons that God put me here, and to be able to reach you and help you get back in the house of God. Oh, and I looked at her, and this is what I told her. I said, ma'am, I wouldn't have chose this route. I promise you, I wouldn't have chose this storm. But with knowing what God's doing in your life, I'd do it again. Just to reach you. It's worth it to reach you. If I got to be on my back. Hey, why is that? It's God being interested in just one. Amen. Put them disciples through a storm. What about that one woman that was defiled in John 4? That he would say must needs go through Samaria. Everybody, the rest of them Jews wasn't going. They bypassed that place. And I'm sure they looked at him like he'd lost his mind. I guarantee it. But see, he knew there's one. And he knew what time to go through town to. Yeah, man. That's a blessing to me right there. I mean, just knew right when to go, right by Jacob's Well. And he is just sitting there and sent them fellas out to town and said, I'm just going to sit right here. And it wasn't long, here she came, carrying her water pot, to draw water out of Jacob's Well. And he goes to speaking to her and said, I got a gift for you. You ought to study this, preachers. He told old Nicodemus, you got to be born again. But she said, to that old woman's life's messed up, I got you a gift. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. You see, she'd been married 5 times and divorced, and now she's shacking up. And the Lord said, I'd like to give you some living water that you'll never thirst again. What is that? The Lord being interested in what? Amen. Hey, a lot of folk wouldn't have messed with her. Said she got too bad a reputation. But the Lord never worried about nobody's reputation. He is interested in their soul. That's why he came. Oh, great God in heaven. That's why he came, is him. That's lost. And he came a-looking for her and dealt with her. And she got born again at the well and left her water pot. Yeah, man, she forgot what she came for. Oh, she got something better than she came for. Yeah, man, we find just for one woman whose life was defiled, Jesus went through Samaria. What about that one man in darkness in Jericho? He went through there for the last time. There's old blind Bartimaeus. Here's it's Jesus. Goes a crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops the whole procession. Amen. For one blind man. Amen. I'm trying to get you a hold of that. Just one. Just one. And we get thinking we ain't done nothing. We just had one saved this year. Well, praise God, it's one. Amen. Thank God for the one. Amen. What about that man? That man with that disability there in John 6, laid 38 years by the pool. 5 porches full of folk. You think about that just a minute. It's full of people, and they're waiting for an angel to come down. That come down at a certain season, the Bible said. Now, they some Bible commentators, they don't like that, so they say that ain't supposed to have been in there. It's in there. It's supposed to be there. And it say whoever first got in was made whole. But when Jesus came to him, by the way, the porches are full. In my mind, you're just going to have to bear with me here. Preacher, in my mind, I can see him. Excuse me, Mary. Pardon me, Zachariah. I'm not going to step on you. He went over that where that one boy was. You get dwelling on that, friend. Yes. Amen. There are a lot of people at the pool that day, but there's one. Amen. Hey, some of you is the only one saved in the service you saved in. Me and my little brother, I got saved at home. We was poor. Me and my little brother shared a bed, but he didn't come mess with my brother. My little brother slept through every bit of it that night. Because there's one. Amen. He came looking for me. Amen. I'm saying to you, it's one here and one there. Hey, the Lord is interested in one soul. Amen. I know we're in this day and time. Everybody acts like I ain't doing nothing. It ain't some big crowd. But I keep finding the Lord interested in one. Amen. And matter of fact, don't get too excited about this, but just hear me. Heaven gets tore up. That's what our text said, ain't it?
Son, I'm about to run up the wall backwards. Amen. Heaven's excited over one sinner that repents.
Amen.
Hey, they may not, the world didn't know you got saved. World didn't know I got saved. It didn't even make a ripple in the pond. But I'm going to tell you, great God in heaven, in the round the throne of God, that day or that night we got saved. Hey, hear me tonight. Hey, it made news and stirred heaven up.
Amen.
Hey, I'm glad tonight that the Lord is interested in the one.
Amen.
Hey, you might be the one tonight, and he's interested in you.
Amen. Let me say number two. He's interested in just one soul, but he also interested in just one servant. For it said in Isaiah 6, whom shall we send? Who? Go for us. What did he say in Ezekiel? I sought for what? A man. Didn't say men. He said, I'm just looking for one. Amen. And I got dwelling on them verses, and the Holy Ghost took me on a trip through the book. And I got thinking about one servant. I got thinking in 1 Samuel 17, one boy killed one giant. A giant that everybody else was terrified, scared of, shaking in their boots in the tent. I want you to think about something just a minute. Old King Saul's a big man. He ain't no scrawny, short dude. He's much of a man, head and shoulders taller. That's what the book said. He ain't out there fighting that giant. One old shepherd boy shows up. And he sees there's a fight out. He said, glory to God, let's shout a while. And went to shouting over the battle. That's odd, ain't it? I don't know if David was a Baptist or not. He was shouting over the battle instead of pouting over it. Yeah, man. He said, shout glory to God. We're in a fight with the devil's crowd. And we're about to win. Amen. Oh, it's Brother Eliab. You remember him, don't you? Boy, he's down there at Jesse's house too, and when the man of God showed up at Horn Oil, Eliab's the first one out of the boys that showed up. Old Samuel looked at him and said, man, my, what a fella. This got to be the king. I can see him reach for that Horn Oil and get ready to pull the cork out. Holy Ghost, whoa. That ain't him. What do you mean that ain't him? This is when the Lord says this. God, he ain't looking on the outward like man. He's a looking on the heart. You know what he said about Eliab right there? He ain't got the heart. He knew when that fight come, Eliab's up there in the tent along with King Saul. There ain't none of them out there fighting that giant. But one shepherd boy. Amen. With a sling and a pocket of rocks. And he only used one of them. Amen. Oh yeah. One servant killed the giant. I'm going to tell you something. You do more for God than what you know. And what you want to believe. Because I'm telling you, God's looking for somebody who'll just say, "Here I am. Whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want." One servant, one little shepherd boy, he kills a giant. Hey, let me say this. Hey, one servant prayed and brought fire down out of heaven. I got to look at that text afresh this afternoon. 1 Kings 18. The prophets of Baal were 450. Now, for us country folk, that's a big crowd. Now you talk to them mega churches running 4,000 and 5,000, we say 400. Oh, that ain't nothing. We got Sunday school classes that big. But for the rest of us, man, that's a big crowd. And by the way, they're doing everything they could. Son, they spent a good part of the day praying to their God.
They jumping up and down on their altar. They're cutting themselves. Nothing. And old Elijah finds, all right, enough's enough, sit down. He goes, repairs that altar, builds it just like God said it ought to be built. And he goes up there and he ain't no big hoorah either. He ain't got some kind of flashing light, some smoke sheen, blowing smoke everywhere, and him announcing, here I am, here I am. No. All he does after he gets that altar ready, he calls on the Lord and 63 words come rolling off his tongue. And when the 63rd one went to heaven, I'm going to tell you, the fire of God fell, hey, and licked up everything, and God accepted the sacrifice. What man praying? Amen. I'm going to tell you, one man praying can do a whole lot. I've done seen it, ain't you? I've been the one a few times, and then I've watched others be the one. Go to praying. And boy, things go to picking up. Man, I'm going to tell you, I've had people across the country praying for me, and I was sick. And boy, there's some folk praying. I mean, they touched heaven. Amen. Hey, I'm glad God hears the prayer of everyone. Amen. One man prays fire down. Then I think about another place. I think about one man becomes an instrument of revival. In 2 Kings 18, old Hezekiah. This country of Judah, they in all kinds of trouble, just like the northern kingdoms. It ain't doing too good when Hezekiah comes to the throne. But Hezekiah said, Lord, I'm going to let you just use me however you want. And he does right in the sight of the Lord. And God stirs him up. He goes removing some things. He gets to shaking some things up. You hear me tonight. You may think that nobody interested in revival. Well, you be the one. Amen. You be the one that said, God, let it begin in me. And you start to pray. And I guarantee you it won't be long. It'll get on somebody else. Amen. One man shakes a country. Amen. You see what I'm getting at here? Talking about one. We get this idea we got to be up there with the big dogs. Huh? Man, I'm not getting to preach the big meetings. So what? We're not the big church. So what? Amen. God's looking for one servant who will yield himself. Hey, what about this? What about one man of God that leaves a great revival in Acts chapter 8? The evangelist Philip. He's a preaching in Samaria, and he's a preaching Jesus. That's a pretty good subject to preach on. And they're getting saved left and right. You read the first part of Acts chapter 8. They get saved in great numbers. And then the angel of the Lord. Hey, Philip, we're going to a new meeting. Amen, Lord. Where are we going? We're going to the desert. We're going to the desert. Somebody must have thrown a tent up. Nope, ain't no tent. Left the big meeting. He goes like God said, winds up down in the desert. Can you grab this, Brother Jimmy? I'm thinking about this. And when he gets down there, there ain't nothing but one Ethiopian in a chariot. There ain't another... Not another soul in sight. But this old boy sitting up in the chair and trying to read the Word of God. He had done went up there to Jerusalem, the Bible said, to worship. He is a looking. And didn't get nothing up there. Do you realize? He didn't get nothing up there. And old Philip come back because the Lord said, Cooper, talk to him. You ever had the Holy Ghost nudge you? Just go talk to him. Go talk to him. And he walked up there, and he like us, the rest of us, sometimes you don't really know how to start, and he sees him up there reading Isaiah. He says, you understand what you're reading right there? Nope. Unless somebody showed me, I ain't going to figure this out. And he said, I want you to come up in the chariot with me. And he's reading Isaiah 53. I can see old Phil about to cut a cartwheel out of that chariot. He's saying, that's a good text. Give me that book. And he went, and what did the Bible say? Preached unto him Jesus. And he goes to preaching Jesus, and the Ethiopian gets interested. He said, oh, and they come up on that water and said, man, here's some water. I heard they've been baptizing some folk. What hinders me? He said, well, I'm going to tell you what's hindering you. You're going to have to believe. See, you ain't got born again yet, and ain't no need to get baptized right now. Wouldn't do you no good. Boy, he believed. I want you to get this too. They had a baptizing, and that boy got saved. One preacher, one new saint. There ain't nobody else around. The religious papers didn't get down there quick enough. They probably wouldn't have went down there. They wasn't down there with their little record book. All right, one for you, one, no. They just, the God of heaven and one preacher and one old boy just got born again. And heaven's rejoicing. I done read that to you in Luke 15:7. Son, the heaven done cutting cartwheels over an Ethiopian eunuch getting saved down there in the chariot and getting baptized down there in the desert. Get this. He don't even get to disciple the old boy. He no more get the fella baptized. And the Lord catches him away. But it does say that old boy in that chariot, he went riding down the road rejoicing. Son, he'd never had nothing happen to him like that happened right there. And man, he is excited. He didn't get that up yonder at the big place in Jerusalem. They didn't even take time to tell him what they was talking about. But there's one old evangelist that I'll take time out. The God of heaven sent me down here just for you, and I'm going to minister to you and watch God do something. Amen. You hear me? When we stand before God one day, there's going to be a lot of folk that nobody ever heard of going to be at the front of the line. And they're going to have a pile of crowns. Well, the rest of that crowd that's got their name plus associational ministry and all their big shot stuff they got. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you get mad at me and don't you go out saying that what I said something I ain't said. I ain't against them fellas God's using in that way. But you listen to me. We need to get the stars out of our eyes and get souls in our eyes. God didn't call us to be everybody else. He's looking for a servant. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I may have said this to you before, I don't know. I've been preaching in this area so long. Sometimes I remember everything I preach, sometimes I don't. But when God first called me to preach, I couldn't hardly told you what my name was in the pulpit. Oh, I've got about probably the second message I ever preached on a cassette tape. And Brother Jeremy, I was trying to preach on where God called Samuel. But really all I preached on was because that's about all I said. And I dubbed it over a year, 2 years ago on the CD because I know those tapes work because they'd sitting there, they get bad and they won't work no more. And that's going through the system. My kids walked in the room and said, who in the world is that? I said, that is your daddy. They said, ain't no way. He said, the voice too high, and that's a stand. I said, that was your daddy. 430 some years of preaching took over his voice. You listening to me? I didn't know how all this is going to turn out, but here I am 35 years later. And listen,
I'm not a big name preacher. But I want to tell you what I've decided I'm going to be. I'm going to be God's preacher. And wherever God opens the door, this preacher going to jump through the door. You said, but what if the brethren don't like where you preach? I could care less. And I really mean that. I could care less. I'm not going to get nobody's permission to go preach where someone God said go preach. Because there are some places, Brother Mark, I've been asked to preach, and the Holy Ghost said, no. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I didn't go. But I've gone to some places, ain't nobody else would go, because the Holy Ghost said, you go. Amen. Flew to Dallas, Texas, preached to 12. How'd you preach? Like I'm doing tonight. So I figure that 12 ought to get it wide open, as sure as a bigger crowd. Don't you? If Philip can preach Jesus in a chair to one, amen. By the way, the reason I just go wherever the Lord opens the door and he said, yeah, that's the door I'm opening for you. Because if it's okay for Paul to go to Mars Hill with all them false gods around and preach, don't try to tell me where I can go. Amen. Because God's looking for somebody, a servant, who will just go. I know people that have nursing home ministry, and that's all they've ever done. But you know what? God's going to use them there. Amen. I know people giving themselves to prayer. Amen. I was talking about that one Elijah praying fire down out of heaven. I got it on that phone right there. I can let you listen to it. I'm laying in a hospital bed, and Patricia Edward called me. I didn't answer it, and they wouldn't let me near my phone. And he went to voicemail, but she'd check it and said, you need to hear something. I said, okay. Cut it on, it's Miss Patricia. You all know the Edwards family? Well, Miss Anna Scott, that's a praying woman. She had come home that day and called Patricia and said, Patricia, said, I was up on the hill a praying today. And said, Brother Davey come to my heart. And it's like his face was right there in front of me. And said, I went to praying. And said, the awfulest battle in the world got to taking place on the hill. And said, I prayed through. And said, God said, it's all well. And she said, I went shaking hands with the bushes and shouting down the hillside. And she said, Mama, don't you know? Brother Davy's up in the hospital and ain't real sure what's going on. She said, I do. Amen. One. Would you be one? Amen. But Jim, I told you about Brother Roger riding up here today. He's a preacher up in Burnsville. He's out in South Dakota, Clark, South Dakota. God called that man to preach and to be a church planter after he'd done past 40 years old. Think about that. What I'm getting at tonight, God's interested in the one. Could you imagine? Do you know, as one man taught a Sunday school class down around Saluda, down that way, do you know he only had two boys? You know one of them was Rudy Smith. Could you imagine what that fella going to get in heaven? You think about that. Have two boys in Sunday school. Now everybody come by and ask, what's your secret for Sunday school growth? You know they wasn't doing that. But that man, open your Bibles, boys. We're going to look at the book. You don't know what God's about to do with you if you just be the one. Just be the one. What is it God's doing in your heart tonight? Maybe you're here lost. You're the one. You're the one. Let God help you tonight. Father, I pray you take this thought, use it for your honor, for your glory. I've tried my best to preach what you said to preach. And Lord, I ask you to stir up the hearts of the people of God. And then I pray for that one that's not even saved. May this be the night, may this be the place that they get born again. And Lord, what you do, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If they'll come get a song of invitation together.